All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us once again here on the Free Melon Society. I am joined with Mr. Genesis Sunfire, and this is the fourth time that we've been meeting like this, and the last time we did a wonderful talk on detox, and we're going to make a natural segue from detox to fitness today. Talk all about fitness and what you need to know. So, first of all, Genesis Sunfire, thanks a lot again for joining me here on the Free Melon Society.
Hello, sir. Great to be back. Always great to be back.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love having you on here because we get through such important material, and today is going to be no different. So really excited to bring you what we're going to be chatting about today, which is fitness. Something that has embodied my life, and obviously if you guys are familiar with Genesis Sunfire, then you'll know that he also is very into fitness, you had a fitness background as well, played rugby for many years. We both have a very extensive athletic background, and then we seemed to make a segue transition into the healthy, detox lifestyle with our athletic backgrounds. And so the way I want to start this topic off, or this discussion off, when we're talking about fitness is, firstly, how does fitness align with a lifestyle that is similar to ours, or is a restrictive lifestyle? Not restrictive, I shouldn't use the word restrictive, but a human diet of natural foods only, or higher, liquidarianism and whatnot. How does fitness align with that? What happens when you try to maintain fitness when you're doing this type of detox and health and wellness and spiritual oriented lifestyle? And for myself and Genesis Sunfire, we seem to have been able to maintain a good level of fitness, okay, and physical savvy, even though we're doing this lifestyle that for many other people seems to take them down to a place where they're not as physically competent, weak and skinny and emaciated. So what I think we want to start with is, what is it that we are doing right, or what is it that we are accepting about this process and that other people might be missing? That's, I think, where we want to get off to. There is a balance to be weighed, because the detox lifestyle, like we talked about in the last talk. So if you haven't seen the last talk, make sure to go and watch that. But we know now that when we're detoxing, okay, when we set the conditions right so that the body can kick into high gear, pulling stuff out of the body, what happens is that's a breakdown process. But fitness and health and strength, this is very often a building process. So what we're doing is we're juggling between these two phenomena, these two forces that are trying to build you up and trying to take you down, pull you down. By pull you down, I mean cleanse and purify your body. So we have to know that this balance is happening, and how to reconcile this balance is what we want to get into today. So why don't you let us know how in your experience,
Eli, you know what my experience, because I want to piss everybody off. They're going to say I'm too negative. They're going to say I'm criticizing everybody. But Eli, that is just what it is, to be honest with you. There's no candy coating, nothing. Yeah. Listen, mainstream society doesn't like fitness either. Mm-hmm. The raw vegan fruitarian culture is no better. In fact, even worse. Mm-hmm. Call it criticizing, call it being negative, whatever you want, but it's freaking true. It is absolutely true. Yeah. Nobody likes fitness. Nobody with any sense likes fitness. If you like fitness, you have to have a screw loose somewhere, right? I played professional rugby league, right? Ounce of sense will play professional rugby league, because it's pure and utter violence in the most unhealthiest way ever, right? It just is what it is, right? So you come into this raw vegan fruitarian culture now. I'm gonna put my neck out on the line. I'm gonna say it, man. I'm gonna be the one to say it. It's awful. It's a lazy. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah, man. It's like it's a free for all, right? That is why, Eli. That's why I said, don't let me stop. That's why, Eli. We are in the trouble that we're in. Now, there are a lot of people are in the trouble that they're in, and why a lot of people fail, and why some people even die, right? Is because there's nothing, there's no support system, there's no, everything's a rumor, right? When I started, Fruitarianism, and it's a lot easier when you start from a cooked food standpoint, like straight off the boat, bang, from cooked food into Fruitarianism, right? It's a lot easier to deal with because the mistakes get covered up very easily, right? Having too much fruit gets covered up with you've already had too much cooked food, right? So it doesn't matter. Since you still got fatty liver symptoms, it don't matter. You're not going to be able to distinguish between fatty liver from sugar or fatty liver from cooked food because it's too close, too close. It's only when you kind of depart from the cooked food thing for maybe a couple of years, right, that you can kind of start to distinguish between having too much fruit. I remember when I started, there was a big debate about if you're fruitarian, do you need to be active all the time? Do you need to kind of burn the fuel as you need it? Or can you just eat copious amounts of fruit all day long and just sit on your ass? It was a massive debate, and it got nowhere. It got absolutely nowhere, Eli, and people suffered because of it, because there was no ultimate voice to say, you know what, you need to be active because you need to burn up what you put in just the same way as you would if you're on cooked food. Because when you're doing it on fruits, everything gets smaller. But if you're not reducing the amounts that you put in, that's where the trouble starts. And that's where everybody goes wrong because no one's looking at that. Because again, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah, and everybody just thinks they can come in and eat as much as they want and just get away with it. And because it's fruitarian, nothing's going to happen. I remember the days where health issues that people would have as fruitarians, health issues that people would have as raw vegans, and nobody would want to talk about it. It would just get swept under the rug. So there are still ways that you can get health issues, and you go to all these years ahead now, right? And it is so, and I know now for a fact, through getting back and coaching my wife and teaching my wife the game, right, I know, yeah, you've got to be active regardless, right? You've got to know your portions. You've got to know your body. You've got to know your intestines. You've got to know your liver. You've got to know when it shrunk, because you've got to know when to reduce. Your body will tell you when to reduce, the amount that you're putting in. Your body will tell you when you need to walk. Your body will tell you all these things. But you've got to be, and this is one thing I love about you, I'll never forget you said it. You said to this woman when you did an interview, "I decided to be a good student." And that's something that's always stuck with me in regards to trying to explain to people, or even explain to my wife, to dedicate yourself to being a good student. And funny enough, that's what I said when I started my journey this time around. I said I was going to dedicate myself to not be the guru, but to be the student. And I wanted to know inside out. I did not want to be defeated by this again. I got a score to settle with this shit. So I was not going to do what I did willy-nilly, just gung-ho, super athlete, young, sexy, handsome, all that shit, right? I was going to dedicate myself now to being a supreme student, the world's best student at this. Yeah. So you've got to know. And part of being that student, I've been able to learn all about my body. I've been able to notice the signs when I need to reduce. In the beginning, when you need to, what we call here in the Sunfire household, saturate yourself, which means just to take copious amount of juice just to help your body flush out whatever needs to flush out. And those are in the initial stages of whatever changes you make, you know what I mean? And then you go back to your reducing. And it's really important that you get to know these, because your body has only a certain amount that it can handle at one time. And that one time is usually for that day, just to give people a perspective. It's usually not that for that hour or for that couple hours. It's usually for that day. You can only take a certain amount for that day. And that amount is ridiculously small. I can definitely see the wisdom in it, but it's ridiculous. From where we've got ourselves in society, it means one hell of a transition down, right? So we are two peas in a pod, Eli. We really are two peas in a pod. Yeah. There's not many like us. There's not many like us. And that's not spoken about either. The vast majority of people in the fruitarian or the raw vegan community will try to avoid activity. All right. And that's not disrespecting anybody. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
Right. We all know it's true. We all know it's true. They will try to avoid activity at all costs. Right. And they will be drawn more to the enjoyment, the pleasure of eating and socializing. And blah, blah, blah.
That's the thing. We've got this immense edifice working against us where the world has a conception of what health looks like. And they've paired health with
exactly
what fitness seems to be in the external body in magazines and, you know, fitness and movies and whatnot.
Yeah.
So the world has made that association, right? Now, when it comes to health, when we do what we do, we see that the body doesn't want anything to do with that. It wants to be tailored and streamlined and lean and, you know, and clean. And so when we're trying to be influential, when we're trying to be compelling, it's like you have to wage this battle between what the world thinks, you know, health is, and what the reality about what health and fitness is. And the two go together, but they don't go together in a way that has been presented to the world. So it puts us in a very difficult position where we have to, in order to be compelling, we have to somehow appeal to that general convention of health and fitness, while at the same time, the reality of what health and fitness are when they're put together. And so that becomes a challenge. And so for a lot of us in the raw food community, you know, you have to understand that if you're not embracing a certain level of fitness, then you will not be as compelling, because people want to know that these things can be maintained at the same time, right? It's just that there are understandings to go into it before you start to ignite this process, because again, you're going to be playing this balancing act. And you have to know that that's coming. You have to know that that's on the way. See, with myself, all right, like you said, and maybe you can give your, you know, your cents on this as well. But with me, like I said, I was willing to surrender. Okay, I was willing to be a good student and accept the things that were going to happen to my body that were completely beyond my control, that I knew would likely occur, such as weight loss, such as breakdown, all that kind of stuff. But the difference for me was that I maintained the nervous system stimulation of activity throughout the whole process. Now, sometimes maintaining that activity, it wasn't enough to build more muscle or build more tissue during the breakdown process, for sure. But I maintained it, so at least my body wasn't degraded to a place that looked unattractive to the outside world. I was a shock to people who noticed that I was just losing all this weight. But that's just because people are familiar with the old you, and so the new you starts to show up, and it's shocking. But to new people out there, I'm just a normal guy. So So with me, it was just a maintenance of activity, regardless of what was happening, regardless of whether, I don't feel as energetic, or maybe I do feel more energetic today, but I just maintain, even though my numbers on the bench press or whatever, if those start to go down, then I didn't freak out. I said, yeah, okay, fine. So my numbers drop down. I'm in this process. Who cares? Nobody cares except me. So I'm just going to keep exercising and adapt my exercising to how this wherever this process is taking me. And I think people have a problem with the process taking them somewhere, because they want to just go somewhere else that the process is not taking them. And that's where surrendering to what is happening because it's outside your control. Right. And it's coming from an intelligent place that you can't understand. So surrender, but also understand that you move it or lose it. You have to move your body if you want to maintain your body in good physical condition. You have to use it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can get detox without fitness, but again, when we're trying to teach the world how we can live well, you're not going to be compelling.
My experience couldn't be anything more opposite. Mm. Mine was so opposite, it's incredible. I got my ass handed to me on a damn golden plate, right? I remember because I came from a rugby league background, a professional rugby league background. I stopped. I got into the fruitarianism. And again, within 7 days, I dragged me through the bushes, kicked my ass. Everything it could do to me, it did to me, right? Yeah. Yeah. And I was a mess, Eli. You said your weight stable. Eli, I look like a concentration camp victim on crack, right? I would go into the supermarket where nobody knew me. And I would have like fruits in my basket. And the checkout people that didn't even know me would look me up and down and say, "You need some proper food in that basket."
Yeah.
But they got me because I looked like a concentration camp victim on crack. I went from Mr. Buff to not enough.
Mm.
It was horrible. All my self-esteem was wrapped up in that buffness, right?
Yeah.
And it all went. It went as soon as the detox came and just drained the life out of me. So I had to go through a lot of insecurity, a lot of trying to cover myself up so no one could see the bone. I was bad, man. I didn't love myself, man. Mm. And talk about your bench numbers going. Mine was obliterated. I couldn't even go to the gym. As I said, a lot of my self-esteem and my identity was wrapped up in being buff, being athletic, being the guy that people turned and looked at in the street and admired. I had guys shoulder charging me now. I ain't joking, man. I was literally ready to fight people in the street because of the lack of respect I was getting. Mm. It was horrible. So, you know, that, man, that's just the physical, psychological aspect of it all. And that went on for years, Eli. From before, couldn't look at me. They couldn't look at me because it was too shocking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this is me. This is me. Always grounded, always level-headed. So people didn't want to say anything, right? So, yeah, that's what I went through. And it was friggin' awful. And I've seen many, many, many other fruitarians go through the same thing. Yes, most of them were, in fact, all of them were hippies. All of them were hippies, right?
Mm-hmm.
The most awesome people, right? And to see them go through that experience, being ashamed. As fruitarians, you know how we always, we don't like to wear clothes. So, you know. to see these guys, you know, want to kind of mix and blend in with us, but they feel really ashamed.
Yeah.
Because you can see their elbow bones sticking out of, you know, it's just, it's horrible, man. It's horrible. So, And like I said, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. So that's what happened to me. Mm. And it's like, that didn't, I, you know, when you first, because no one even tells you that it's going to happen. So as an athlete, it was shocking. And it was shocking to deal with. It was the most stress, the most anxiety, because no one was there to assist you, right? 3 to 5 years to fend for myself, to figure out, or just to let time have its way with me. And that's what happened. Time had its way with me, right? One of the things that I learned was that throughout this whole process, you're going to be broken down. I learned decades later that never actually stops. At some point through the detox, you've got to pick a time to rebuild. And it's vital that you do that. Otherwise, you'll end up like the breatharians.
Mm.
where they just continue to break down. It's like I can look at them and think, oh my God, you're painful to look at. Your body is screaming stress because they just let themselves carry on getting broken down. You've got to build. You've got to start that process of building back up. You said it right. You move it or lose it. And it's true. That is very true. So you've got to get in and tell your body what it needs.
Yes.
And that's when you get into the gym. That's when you get into the gym and you lift heavy. You lift heavy for short amounts of time, right? You get in and do your cardio. You're getting in and you do your walking. Walking is all you need, is all the cardio you need to do. You don't need to do what society says is fitness. It's going to burn you out and it's going to kill you. End of story. And if you do eat the cooked food steroids, right, it's going to kill you. So it's nothing. Fitness as a fruitarian is nothing to do with fitness as a regular member of society. Walking is the only cardio you need to do. Technically, in fact, no, I won't say that, because you do need to get in the gym. You do need to lift heavy. I always work on lifting more than my body weight as a general rule, right? Because you have to kind of mimic fighting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The strength you would need to fight, whether it's fighting off a saber tooth or fighting another dude, right? You've got to tell your body what you need, what attributes you need to rebuild. You don't want the body to just keep detoxing away, all right? Mm-hmm. Because that's not going to help your self-esteem. That's not going to help your identity. It's going to be a total fake identity that you're kind of nurturing. And that's generally what I've seen with the hippies and, the hippies. Because I always used to say that this isn't really my culture. That this fruitarian culture isn't really my culture. It's a white hippie culture. It's nothing to do with me, really. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I never had anything in common with anybody in this culture. I just never fitted in. I had nothing in common. I didn't like the music. I didn't like the drums and the whatever, only because it was me.
Yeah.
And they loved me, right? That I would mix and socialize and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? On occasion, right? These people were not into fitness. These people didn't even like fitness. They didn't even like anybody that liked fitness.
Yeah.
And that was the sentiment. And as we discussed in the previous detox show, is that we bring in this cooked food mentality where we eat as much as we can, but we're not taking care of the residue, right?
Yeah.
Through fitness, through getting out and walking, through abstinence of food, so we can burn it off. Because it's not only fitness, you can fast as well. Fasting has exactly the same effect as fitness. So technically, you don't really have to do so much if you incorporate, or even if you just play by the laws, where you reduce the amount that you take in, and then you fast the rest of the time, right? You really don't have to play the fitness game that society says that you got to play, the 2-3 hours in the gym and all that stuff. You really don't need to do that. But what you do need to do is you need to make sure that you're utilizing the tools of nature, which is your body. Most importantly is, as you said, getting that understanding and being a really good student, being a really effective student. And again, in this future, see enough people being students. So it's really difficult for someone like me or for us, because we want to spread the word, but it's like, do people want to be students? There are, and I know there's many, many, many out there that want to be students, but they're few and far between. So we're not going to be for everybody. We're not going to be for everybody. Even this video is going to piss a lot of people off, because this information right here is not for everybody, because not everybody wants to play by the rules.
Yeah.
As an athlete, and I'm going to speak on behalf of the person that's got one foot in the new age and one foot in the mainstream, right? As an athlete, coming from the mainstream. I want stuff that works. I want things that work. I want things that are effective. I don't want to be screwed over, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want my adrenals burnt out just by taking someone's shit advice. I want stuff that actually works. I want stuff that is proven, right? Mm-hmm. And I've gone out as a student and I've seek that information. So this is the kind of stuff you've got to do as a student. You've got to be surrender. You've got to surrender. Listen, right? I cannot stress to you, and I'll speak on behalf of myself, right? I had a really hard time. Mm-hmm. I had a really freaking hard time. So I'm going to say it like this, and this is why I guess people think I'm so negative, is I had a harder time so I could come back and tell people, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I could be the person that I am. But yeah. As I said, it's not going to be for everybody. So I'm going to say it like this, right? You're spot on, Eli, in everything that you said. Mm-hmm. I had to surrender, but at times it feels like you're just bent over. You know what I mean? It sometimes it just feels like you're just getting bent over and shafted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just got to take it.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. No lubrication or anything. You just got to take it. Sometimes that's how it feels, man. Seriously.
And Mother Nature tends to wear a big strap on sometimes.
Oh, what the mother of all strap ons, man! Them big black mofos, right?
Speaking to that, someone asked me a good question in the comments just a little while ago, and they were asking about the introduction to this channel and what it meant.
Right.
And because right. I've got symbolically going through a door and then a whole bunch of fire, and then the logo comes out and then spring and put. And the reason I've done that is because I'm describing exactly this process, right? The chaos,
right.
The breakdown, the initial stage before you get to where you want to be. It's fire. It's burning away. It's chaos. It's negativity. Or seeing the negativity come out that you didn't know was locked inside, right? It's all of that.
Yeah.
Which is what I've symbolically depicted with the introduction to this channel. That's the problem. Yeah. Because people, there's no telling how long that burning process will be, right? And people get dissuaded somewhere in the middle. Yeah. And then they just can't deal with it anymore.
Mm. I've seen so many people suffer, and it's broken my heart, man. Mm-hmm. It's broken my freaking heart to see these good people suffer. There's no structure. There's no teachings. There's nothing that's going to work. They go to these gurus, and the gurus don't know. Because I've been called negative the whole time in this culture. I've been called too overly aggressive. Too negative. Oh, and I don't like him. He pisses me off. It's because who else is going to do this? It's because I've been put through the furnace so I can come back and share the information and tell people this is what's going to happen. I've been put through the worst of the worst, right? What's going to happen to you, right? Worst case scenario. This is what's going to happen. Prepare for it. Prepare yourself. It's not going to be humane. It's not going to be humane, and no one else is going to tell you, because this whole raw food culture is a business, right? Nobody's going to tell you. So this is my thing. It's broken my heart too much to see people suffer like this, right?
Maybe we can offer some solutions. What we can do to mitigate that. So if you're making this transition, okay, how do you adjust? And you touched on it
earlier. Eli, we piss people off by telling them what they don't want to hear. We piss people off by telling people what they don't want to hear, that it's going to be work. They're going to be put through the furnace. This is what's going to happen. You're going to detox. Worst case scenario, you're going to detox, and it's going to detox you with an inch of your life.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to get a good spanking, and it's going to be up to you to come out of it. In one piece, right? Yeah. Also, again, you have to understand what kind of what kind of chance does anybody stand in this culture teaching about this? Like, mm-hmm. really, about the truth about this? Because how many people are going to dedicate to being good students, mm-hmm. right? How many people are really going to dedicate themselves to be staunch and to prep every day? The stuff that me and my wife do every day, right, is world-class. It's at world-class level. Because even at your worst, you have to be world-class. And I'm deadly serious about this. Yeah. Even at your worst, with everything that this is going to throw at you, your worst has to be world-class. Because you're going to be put through the furnace. Yeah. It's not only the physical, but it's also the spiritual mm-hmm. aspects of it. Yeah. You're going to be put through the furnace, which means situations are going to arise that you cannot control. Mm-hmm. But they seem to be coming up just coincidentally, you know what I mean? Just coincidentally, these situations, yeah, they're going to trigger you. Mm-hmm. All right? It's stuff like that, and you've got to make it. You've got to navigate. Nothing highlights that more than when you get someone like me that goes from buff, and you take that buff away. Yeah. You take their whole identity away and strip them down to nothing. Mm-hmm. And then you put them through the furnace. And then you expect them to be 100% fruitarian.
Yeah.
And then you say to the world, right, turn on this guy. Call him all the names under the sun. Call him a fake, a liar, whatever. Don't accept him into the culture. Because you've got to be taught how to be a leader. It doesn't care. What it cares about is the results. Did you do it? No. It doesn't care why you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but what happened was, it don't care. Did you do it? Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Okay, you can come in. That's all it cares about. It doesn't care about situations in life.
Exactly.
You got the furnace. You get through your initiations. If you cannot get through your initiations, and part of the initiation is the physical, is the ego. Can you get past being nothing? Can you get past having your muscles taken away? Having your identity taken away. Because this demands a purity of heart. You get put through the furnace. Everything to break you gets put your way. Because you've got to pass your initiations, right?
Yeah.
You've got to be proven. You've got to be tested and proven, period. And they're going to turn around and at the end of it all, when you step out of that furnace, they're going to ask you, did you do it? Yeah, right, great. Next steps. Now you've got to be a leader. Let's jump back to that, you know, 3 to 5 year detox stage, right? Yeah. Now, I went from emaciated, again, having to learn what to do. You know what saved me, Eli? Mm. Orange juice.
Orange juice.
Mm. I did OJ for about 6 years, right?
Yeah.
I did OJ for about 6 years straight. It was the best time of my life as a fruitarian. It was the best. Absolute best, right? It was awesome, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it was through that that I realized that was like the amber nectar, man, right? There's something about orange juice that is just, and to this day, that's my staple.
Yeah.
That's my staple. That is literally the juice of the gods, man. And that's what kind of calmed me down enough to start to decide to get active. You know, you go through your time, and when you've come out of that furnace, and by furnace, I mean, when you get through all the emaciation, you get through your initiations, you get through all the getting broken down situations, and you come out of that furnace, right? When you can start thinking about being active, that's when you know time's about right, right? That's when you know, okay, I can start moving. That's one of the subtle signs your body gives you, is when you start thinking, go from being deep in the furnace and it's like, I ain't going nowhere, right? Yeah. To, you know what, I think I can go for a walk today, or I'm starting to feel like I can go for a walk or go to the gym, or I'd like to just go to the gym and visit, just walk around, you know what I mean? That's when you know, okay, it's time to rebuild. So I'm giving people a heads up here. It's not just you deciding, oh, I feel a bit better. Oh, I want to be more social. No, that's your body's subtle sign to say it's time to start rebuilding, right?
It's also important, like you said before, this is where a little bit of stress, and I say stress, not stress like job stress, but putting your body through more high intensity work is going to be very, very, very good for you. Because remember, with fitness, we are telling our body what it needs to deal with every day in life, right? And unless you give it that stress, your skeletal structure is not going to respond, your joints are not going to respond, and your muscles are not going to respond. They want to see, like, if you want the type of physicality that is good in life so that you can do all the fun things and be able to defend yourself when you need to, then you need to really challenge your muscles besides just sitting in the lotus position, you know, and whatever, and lifting your arm or whatever.
Yeah.
You actually want to be doing stuff that's going to stimulate you, that's challenging, either weight
exactly
or very difficult angular movements that put tons of stress on your muscles. And just do it, not that you're burning yourself out, because you're already living a detox lifestyle, a clean lifestyle that is pulling out things from you. So, but you do want enough stimulation in your nervous system that challenges your muscles, that enervates all your muscles to like fire off, so that they start. Yeah. You give your body the message that, oh, okay, even though I'm cleansing, I still need to be, you know, on. I still need to have charge. I still need to do some work.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to add that in. And I also want to say really quickly, you touched on something very, very important. And I always like to say it, is that, you know, nature doesn't care. I always return to that, because the process does not care what our justifications are, what our rationalizations are, for thinking of whatever it doesn't care.
Don't care.
So that being said, if you had started this process and still were trying to be the high level competitive rugby player, right, at that state, it would have been the wrong time for you to start doing this, right?
Oh, you know that. Yeah.
If you're the professional football player, professional basketball player, high level athlete, whatever, again, nature doesn't care that that's your lifestyle, because the process is just reality. Yeah. So you have to, it's up to you to determine what your priorities in life are. And if high level fitness is the current lifestyle modality, then going through a process that in the beginning will make changes and break you down, it's just the wrong timing for you. And so this conversation is not, it's for you, it's for everybody, but it's not that you should act on it right now in your stage of the game. You want to be in a place where you are where you have the ability to surrender. And if you can't, this process is not for you yet, right?
Yeah.
You should understand this, okay? So understand this. And that's not, there's no shame or guilt associated with that. It's just that, again, nature doesn't give a crap what your
position
in life is. It's just going to act untrue. So it's up to you to determine when in life is a good time to allow the process to unfold, right? If that makes sense to everybody out there. So I just wanted to add that in.
I always tell the wife, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's absolutely spot on, Eli. I always tell the wife, you've got to pick your time. You've got to pick a time, that window of opportunity, because we transition and we do our reductions, and there comes a point when the body says, all right, I'm ready.
Yeah.
So sometimes in the past, we've had days where we tried to dictate, right, we'll do this by Monday, right? Monday comes and our bodies are still like, I'm not really feeling it. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, we transition a bit longer. Yeah. And then there's that time where it's like, boom, let's go. So you've got to pick that time to go. And when you go, when that window of opportunity comes, you've got to go, man. You've got to go. And you've got to, again, this is why I said teaching this culture what to do, right? If the vast majority don't want to be students, it's difficult for this culture that we're in to comply. really is, because it's incredibly stressful. It's incredibly, it's almost unreasonable, grossly unreasonable to expect his culture to play this game. But this is the situation we're in. And that's why I say, what chance do we really stand? Sometimes I feel like we're just fighting, we're just banging our heads against brick walls sometimes, because this is so demanding. And then we try to add in fitness, we try to add in the bodybuilding. And I think the bodybuilding thing comes in because we want to be like the cooked food people. We want to compete with the cooked food people, right? So we bring all the cooked food stuff into this culture, and we still want to act like cooked food people, right? We want to expand the culture and bring in more people, bring in the cooked food people. But when those people come in, what are they going to see? They're going to see a bunch of burnt out hippies. They're going to see a bunch of ragtag bunch of, you know, a bunch of everybody. You know what I mean? But for the most part, a bunch of burnt out hippies.
Yes.
Mental health issues, with severe mental health issues, right? Some are talking about not eating ever. Some are talking about just living off prana. And that's what these people are going to see. They're going to turn right back and walk out,
right?
Because there's nothing substantial for them to hold on to, right? There's nothing proven, because this is, unfortunately, fruitarianism is in the realm of the new age, right? So that's my concern with all of this, is this is unreasonable to ask people, these people to go through. Those people have got to be taught. Those people have got to be prepared. Understanding you can't spend days on end crying your eyes out for this idea of your parents letting you down or some shit. Because at the end of the day, the furnace don't care. The furnace doesn't care. I always tell the wife, hey, you can cry all you want, but you know what? No one gives a fuck.
Mm.
No one gives a fuck. Have as many tantrums as you want, but it doesn't get us anywhere, and it doesn't do anything, doesn't solve anything, because nobody gives a fuck. You have to make it out of this furnace in one piece. And then they're going to turn around and ask you, did you do it? Yes. Awesome. Come this way. Did you do it? Well, what happened was, they do not care.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go in again. You're going to have to go in again until you get rid of that shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how it is. And I think that's what this culture has to understand, is that there's a reality to this, that if they want to proceed past raw veganism, if they want to proceed past being emaciated and actually get to rebuild their bodies again,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to develop an understanding that breatharianism isn't going to cut it, for one. Continuing to eat as much as you want isn't going to cut it, for two, right? And that they are going to have to game. I call it playing the game, which means, yes, they're going to have to surrender to a different set of rules now, which means, yes.
Shifts.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I can tell people in the audience that with 100% certainty. It used to be that being fully, fully fed gave me more energy going out and working out. I can tell you it's the opposite now. I have to be underfed.
Exactly.
To be optimal.
Exactly.
My body feels 100% better when there's nothing in there, you know?
Yeah.
Almost a day or day at least, you know, and then I start to feel really strong, really good. Things shift. It does. It's a shift. So,
but to get to that place, Eli, people have got to drop some stuff.
Yeah.
People have got to drop some emotional baggage. People have got to drop. They've got to detox. They've got to go through another part of the furnace. It's crazy, man. To talk about building your body back again, it demands a lot of dropping of baggage. It demands, listen, you said something really cool, which was about stress. Eli, I am a maniac for that stuff. I am an absolute maniac for that stuff. I push myself so hard. I really do. And I freaking love it. I told the wife, you've got to do it. You've got to walk your ass. I used to get out and I used to walk for 4 hours straight, 4-6 hours straight every day while I was detoxing, so I could be prepared to cope with detox. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't knock me out as much. So I wouldn't be in so much pain. it's called metabolic stress, and that's what I did to myself. I stressed my body out so I could perform better under stress, so I could perform better while I was detoxing, all that stuff, so I could recover faster from detox, so I could burn off any toxins that I was having trouble with, all of that stuff. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. Yes, there's a time to relax. There's a time, but the body will tell you when that time is. That body will say, hell no, we ain't going nowhere, right? So there's a difference between that and just out and out laziness,
yeah. Right?
And again, no one tells people this. No one tells people this. Because I actually know for a fact there's a lot of people within this culture that are willing to do the work in relation to who they are. And that's who I think, that's who I'm willing to put my neck out on the line for, are those people,
yeah.
Right? They mean the world to me, man. This isn't going to be for everybody. So those people that get pissed off at me or irritated at me because I'm too negative, this wasn't for you in the first place. This was for the person that says, you know, that cleared that up. Thank you. Bye. Because that's all we need. That's all we need is for that person to get it and then move forward and get out the furnace. We need as many people out of that furnace as possible. So the whole building your body up thing is just as important, and the timing of it is just as important as the going into the furnace and going into the detox.
If we are, so let's say we start, okay? So let's say, you know, you're the person that goes up, that starts the initiation process, right? You go into,
yeah,
into this thing. You're paying attention to what your body is telling you. Like you said earlier, in that initial period where you're, you know, the fire, you're in the middle of the furnace, right? You're in the furnace and your body is telling you, do not move, right? Just don't move. Yeah, okay, maybe then you don't do much activity, just let the thing go. And then at some point, you start to feel that, you know, the motivation to start moving, start exercising, and you have to jump on that opportunity because, you know, you don't want to sit on it, all right? Now, what I was going to ask is, okay, even though you're going through that breakdown process in the initial period, because I feel that I still kept moving, but I definitely allowed for the times when my energy just said, no, don't move. I just surrendered to that and I said, okay, fine, no activity today, right? Are there definitely things that we shouldn't do at all? Like we said, you know, be stressing yourself with high intensity work or heavy weights. Is that something that we should avoid in that initial period? Or is it something that you just pay attention to day to day? And if you feel like going out and doing that, do it. Or if you don't. Or should we just avoid that?
It's totally mandatory. Mandatory to do it.
Okay.
The only time I remember I was knocked out for about 2 months. Mm-hmm. Like, knocked out. Eli, I couldn't not move. Mm-hmm. I was in severe pain. Mm-hmm. Severe pain, right? I was knocked out. And it wasn't until about 2 months after, maybe even longer, that I actually started to think about getting back into the gym again. Mm. You know what I mean? Okay. So it's mandatory just to keep on blasting through, right? Because if you don't move it, you lose it.
Because the activity, remember, the activity helps. It helps to purify the tissues. It helps to depurate the, you know.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Why you got to carry on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why
why it's mandatory. People used to tell me in the culture, oh, you're so stupid. You're so stupid. You're supposed to rest. You keep doing all this sprinting. You keep doing all this fitness. You're going to burn yourself out. But it's not true. It's absolutely not true. Right? You've got to keep your ass moving, man. This was the first time, Eli, that I wasn't active during detox. And I got my ass kicked, man. This was the first time I was not active. Normally, I'm active all the way through, right? I might have a week. I might have a week where I'm down, right? But this was the first time I was not active. And I got my ass handed to me on the plate.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I mean? It was horrible. So It's mandatory. And still people will tell you, oh, no, you mustn't be active. You've got to give your body rest. Everyone's got a different concept. Everyone's got a different opinion. Everyone's got a different guru. Everyone's got a different way. So, and that's fine, but you've got to do what works. And yes. If it's not working, then you might have to accepting someone else's view, you know. But still, you got to do what works. So it's mandatory to keep moving as best you can. Walking is the best you can do. Walking is the best you can do. You know what I mean? When you're really up for it, then yeah, do the heavy weights, short, intense stuff. Again, I just do 15 minutes. 15 minutes strength, and that's it. That's my bag, right? And then it's over for me. And then I walk, and that's as far as I take it. Because again, you don't want to be busting your ass all day. I like to stay fresh. I like to stay fresh, and I like to stay clean, happy.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to split it up. That's how I do it too. Just like short, intense, and then save, keep the energy, you know, keep the energy with you so that you have enough to be able to function doing whatever it is you're doing for the rest of the day. And then you can also work out the next day as well. Short, intense.
Exactly.
I also wanted to add, it's also not that complete rest is bad. Like if you're in the middle of a fast, for example, then yeah, you might want that period of just complete rest. Yeah, for sure. Right. What we're talking about is while we're doing the detox work, you're still eating, but what you're eating is only life sustaining and rejuvenating. Right. And then you can, you know, afford to do this maintenance work. But if we're in the middle of a fast though, like a water fast or a dry fast or whatever, and then your body calls for rest, yes, please rest, because it's only
Definitely.
You reconstitute your, you know, your vitality and your health, and then you can work out afterwards. So just know that we're not talking about a complete fast, right?
Everyone's different. And I think it's important for people listening to us to also understand that they may not be as intense as us, or they may not be as nuts as us, and it's not a bad thing. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone needs to be celebrated, and everyone needs to just understand that you do what you can do to your level. That's all you can do. You don't have to be insane. I'm trying really hard not to sound arrogant. Everybody has to really kind of tune into themselves. I always talk about this as well, is you've got to be careful who you listen to. And that includes me, and that includes you, Eli, as well. People have got to be very careful how they listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I am nuts. I am not right in the head, right? But I can see the wisdom. I can see the wisdom of what my higher self gets me to do. Because I can tolerate a hell of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I am 100% a student to my higher self. I've gone through hell and back and hell and back again. Mm-hmm. I've got timeshares in hell. That's how often I've been to hell and back. All right. So you've got to be very careful listening to me. And again, that's why I sound oftentimes complaining about this or that, is because I've been to hell and back for a purpose. Now, I've done many boot camps, many Fruitarian fitness boot camps. I've taken two sets of Fruitarian people up the National Free Peak Challenge, right? So I've got a ton of experience dealing with this culture and fitness. There are some incredible individuals out there. Not all of them were the fittest. That's not what blows my mind about people.
Mm.
It's their obedience and their willingness to surrender, amongst other things. In this culture, there are some incredible, and I want to make that clear so people can understand, you know, it's not just about true and hippies and blah, blah. Yeah, they exist, but there are some incredible individuals within this culture, and they're not always the fittest, they're not always the sexiest, they're not always the biggest, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't depend on those things. Mm-hmm. What it does depend on is how you play this game.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the whole strength and rebuilding thing. Now, you've got to find out who you are. And as a student, you've got to find out what you want to do. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? We actually have interest in this. What do you do when you don't have an interest? I can't help you there. You have to have that animal inside you. You know what I mean? So I think to some degree, you have to be a certain person to do this lifestyle, to succeed. That seems pretty harsh, but there's times where it's like, man, that seems to fit. And it's like, sometimes, man, the pain I would be in now if I didn't commit to doing this at the gym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I didn't commit to being on the treadmill, if I didn't commit to the gym, pain I would be in now, detoxing from this. Because I'm still detoxing, but I'm way stronger than I was before. You know what I mean? And the more I get myself on that treadmill, the more I get myself in that gym, the better I feel about myself, the more my identity starts to come back. And I'm actually starting to take shape. And here's the thing, Eli. And I want to say this to all the men, right? To all the men that feel they're not big enough, or the men that feel that they're now emaciated and it's because of fruitarianism and they just don't understand it, right? It's about becoming smaller when it comes down to the rebuild. The whole muscular thing is an illusion. And I don't mean to sound like a hippie, but it's an illusion, right? It's about getting smaller and not looking to get bigger in terms of being buff, right? Train, right? And even though you're not eating or you're 100% fruitarian, and let's just say you're abiding by the rules, right? I'm going to say this. You're no longer relying on food because there's nothing technically to build upon, right? What you're relying on now is growth hormones. What you're is activating the growth hormones in your body when you're fasting, because you're fasting, right? So you couple that with training now, the fasting with the training, right? And again, tapping into a bit of ketosis, you're tapping into a gold mine of chemical activity that kind of will be like steroids. When it comes to training, right?
Yeah.
No insecurities when I train about not coming to a nice, beautiful shape. None. No doubts whatsoever. Because I know doing what I'm doing, and I've been doing it long enough, I'm going to tap it. There's muscle memory for a start.
Yes.
Two, that I'm going to tap into growth hormones because I'm fasting. I'm going to tap into a whole bunch of chemical reactions because I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'm also pushing the boundaries of stress. I'm metabolically stressing my body out, right? So my body knows, hey, this guy's doing this shit. So we got to have stuff on tap for him, right? So I'm forcing my body to provide. I'm forcing my body to make sure there's shit on the table. That's an incredible place to be. That's an incredible place to be. And that's how you've got to look at it. And that's how it's done. Because you, as a fruitarian, playing by the rules, you cannot bring the whole cooked food concept of nutrition into the mix. You've got to eliminate that, right? You've got to eliminate that. Mm-hmm. So what you're relying on in terms of your build-up is a completely different system. That's why I say you've got to be a beast in the gym. You've got to be a beast, period. Yeah. Even when you walk, you've got to be a beast when you're walking. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's whether you're 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, is you've got to be a beast. Whatever that looks like, I wouldn't look at it in terms of what you think is a beast. I would pick someone, an athlete that's world-class, and I would emulate them. I would emulate them because you've got to reach a high standard of stressing yourself out without burning yourself out, because there's a way of doing that. But you've got to reach a higher standard. I have seen these, and I've done this, right? I've studied this. Fruitarian bodybuilders, right? They are, most of them are just hippies flexing, right? Every now and again, you get the serious fruitarian bodybuilder.
Yeah.
But then you've got to ask, how long have you been doing this for? Because anything under 2 years don't count, right? Hanging on to shit, right?
Yeah.
I want to see the 10-year. I want to see the 10-year fruitarian bodybuilder that can compete with a cooked food bodybuilder, right? That's what I want to see. None of them can. When they got clothes on, you don't even know that they're a bodybuilder. They just look like a regular dude.
Yes.
Right. This is the thing that we can kind of let go of now. I feel is this whole bodybuilder thing.
Yeah.
I use the term sometimes, but I mean it for what I use it for, being a damn beast and getting in that gym. Fruitarians don't wear clothes. They're all flexing and they're all trying to do this and trying to do that. And fruitarian bodybuilders on their title and everything else. And it's like they take videos of us and make jokes about us, right? And then they criticize the lifestyle. And in my prime, Eli, right? In my prime of fruitarianism and being I used to do body weight stuff, right? Now, in my prime, what I did was I used to post the stuff I did, the same stuff I did in the park on the raw food sites, right? And I would also post on the mainstream fitness site that I used to use, a big one, right? Harsh one, very critical, right? Mm. Now, I would get, not one person would congratulate me on the raw site. On the raw site, they hated me because they hated fitness. Oh, who do you think you are? Blah, 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 right? You ain't shit. Blah, 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 yeah. Right? Now, on the fitness site, on the mainstream fitness site, you'd get all these meatheads. Hey, man, you look great. Hey, dude, excellent.
Wow. Yeah, that's not funny.
That takes some skill. Brilliant. Excellent, right? And these are mainstream dudes. Eli, they didn't even know I was fruitarian.
Yeah.
They didn't even know, right? So here's the kicker. And I always knew it was coming. Somebody would say, oh, what diet are you on? Because you look great. Then I would say, oh, I just eat fruits. I'm a fruitarian.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else, right?
Like, what?
I kid you not. What? Yeah. I kid you not. What? What do you mean? Yeah, I'm fruitarian. I just eat fruits. No way. But the thing is, Eli, they couldn't take it back.
Yes, that's it. Right?
Because they praised me. They already praised me, yes. Right? They already praised me because they didn't f-ing know, right?
Exactly.
And that's the thing, is when they know beforehand, they're not going to accept you. They're not going to accept it. Oh, yeah, you're full of shit. Just eat fruits, my ass, right?
Yes.
But because they praised me before they even knew, they couldn't take it back. And yes. Then afterwards, it was like, well, you know what? I take my hat off. Fair dues to you. Great job. That's how it should be, to show the politics within all this. On the raw site, there'd be only a couple of people that would say, hey man, wonderful, that's really nice. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it was all people bitching.
Mm-hmm.
It was all people bitching, not one supportive, hey man, that's really cool. You know what I mean? Nothing.
Yeah, that is so funny and it's so true, because you're going to find that. You know, people that are on this lifestyle and have been doing it a while and they've actually reforged, you know, a clean body. You're going to find, it happens to me all the time. You go on an interview, you do a podcast or whatever, and the meatheads and the, you know, the keto guys and all these guys, because they know that it's a raw food dialogue, right away, you know, they'll see me and they'll say, oh, this guy's about to die tomorrow. Right? It's like, okay. But then you run onto
what?
No idea who you are. No idea what you do. And it's like,
oh, you look great. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You look so healthy. What do you do? Right. And it's just like, it's so funny because, like you said, if they can meet you without the prior judgments coming in and screwing up their perception, then.
Yeah.
Once then you tell them what you do, and now they can't backtrack and say, oh, you must be doing something. No, that's unhealthy, because
exactly
that you look like a good example of health, right? It's so funny how it works.
Exactly. Exactly.
What's important here is understanding that that fitness component, right? That fitness component and the health component, they do go together. They are fused together. But because of the shifts that happen, it's just that the relationship between the two is different on the other side of the furnace than prior to going into the furnace, right? There's still the relationship.
Spot on, man. Even talking about it right now is so difficult because there's about four different angles that this comes at you at.
Yeah.
And they're all different. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be able to judge. And you've got to be able to know which one to jump on at which time. And it is so difficult. Even to talk about this is difficult, you know? I realized Because I did the Doug Graham Health and Fitness camps as well for like 2 years one time, right? And that was absolutely amazing, right? And that was my first kind of experience with coaching people, the whole Fruitarian fitness thing, and being around like-minded people. It was in Seattle. You go for a week and it's nothing but fitness, and it's with Doug Graham and his peoples, right? His team, right? Awesome.
Yeah.
These were like the creme de la creme of the culture. These were like the people that were interested in fitness out of everybody. I was me, and I was the maverick, and I was the wild card, and nobody really knew about me other than from YouTube. You know what I mean? So it was like I had this mystique about me. And in the beginning, it's like I had something to prove to them. But that was done. That was ironed out. And it ended up absolutely awesome. But I had people come up to me and say, I don't like the food here. I don't like how much we have to eat. Why do you look better than Doug? Yeah. I want to look more like you. What are you doing? You know, I was being me, and I had no connection to Doug. I had no connection to his philosophy. I was just being me, and that's what I was known for. But anyways, and I just said, right, I'm going to be me in this bitch. And it was awesome. The people were wonderful. Again, I would get people behind closed doors come to me and say, I want to do what you're doing. What are you doing? Because I want to look like you.
Yeah.
Right? And I had to tell them, look, you don't want to know what I'm doing because it ain't of this. It's not what you're here for. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're here with Doug's thing for a reason. Too many people would tell me, I'm sick of the, after the, you know, by the end of the week, people would come up to me because they would see what I was doing. You know what I mean? There were mountains of raw vegan gourmet stuff that they made. They would have people in the kitchens all day cooking stuff, right? So I would have like a mango, or I would have like a plate of sliced up something. And that was the first year. The second year, it was pretty much the same thing. I'm going to do the OJ thing. I'm going to be liquidarian. Me and my big mouth, I said, oh, I'm going to be liquidarian. Oh, really?
Oh.
Oh. Oh, okay. And it's like, oh, and before you know it, it was on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's not what he did last year. Man, what's going on here? It was like, well, that's not what he was doing last year. But anyway, that whole week I did the whole liquidarian thing. I was kind of the betrayer. I was supposed to be doing what they're doing, and here I am taking just juice and thriving off it. You know what I mean? And thriving off it. Oh, the amount of people that came to me behind closed doors and said, "I want to do what you're doing." Yeah. They were like, "Please, please." I'm not joking, man. They're like, "Please, I want to do, please. What do you do? I want to do what you're doing."
Yeah.
And I would say the same thing, but you're.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You paid for this shit. I'm not your coach. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's like, but that's what it does. That's what it was like. You had all these people like not listening to themselves, not tuning into their own shit, not being able to do what they wanted to do. But the only thing that saved their asses was that they were active all day. They weren't feeling well because they would come back to me and say, I don't feel good. And I was thriving, man. But I was the only one listening to their bodies and giving it the amounts their body said. Hey, yeah, we're done. These guys had to damn near eat all day. And they were coming back to me saying, well, I don't feel good. And that's what I'm saying. Even on fruits, man, you can get issues. That was how I found that I was actually starting to rebuild, was when I was reducing and not eating the vast amounts of stuff that they were eating, or eating to the level that they were eating. I found that when I ate less, and it wasn't until like these days that I actually have now come across the information that says, yeah, you're tapping into your growth hormones because you are fasting. You're fasting more often throughout the day. So you are tapping into your growth hormones. Again, when you apply stress to your body, you're going to start a chemical reaction that's going to make your body build, man.
Right.
And I came across that by accident, just by being able to listen to my body as I went along in life, and by reducing instead of increasing. And that's how I ended up getting to the still looking like a damn Hugo Boss model. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
even though I was Praetorian, at my to where regular mainstream people didn't even notice, couldn't even tell the difference. That was what I wanted. That was what I wanted, was to compete with the cooked food people so they didn't even know the difference. Yeah, but the problem is, I'm not going to get the big delts, 3D, what they call them, 3D delts, and the big pecs. No, I'm going to be like I'm not going to be that guy with the big chest, the big biceps, and a gut, and still got a gut. No, I'm going to have abs. You know what I mean? I'm in the gym and I see these guys, Eli, right? They're massive guys and they walk around like they got carpets under their arms, right? Yeah. And they're just massive, massive guys, right? But they still got a gut. If you go to the gym, you will know the elusive thing is gut, is abs, right? Yeah. All the big guys don't have abs. All the big guys, they got a gut. And you know for a fact, mm-hmm. they don't want that gut, but because everyone else has the gut, they feel some kind of camaraderie and it's okay. You can see my abs through my t-shirt, mm-hmm. and I've got some kind of semblance of a chest and my core's looking kind of cool, man. Even those guys got to look at me and be like, how's he doing that?
Yes.
That's always the thing you're going to have over these big guys.
If you maintain your fitness, and I'll have to start wrapping it up, and I want to do just a summary, a recapitulation of everything. But once... Yep. When you allow the process to go unhindered and you maintain the same level of activity that you would have to be doing in any natural situation, right? Stressing your body and making sure that your system is still alive, okay? Use this combination of the two, and what happens is natural laws kick into place that refine your body and tailor it to a place where it starts to beautify and starts to streamline and proportion perfectly. And that look, that aesthetic is very hard to replicate when you're loading yourself with all of the garbage that creates big, huge, hulking biceps and chests and deltoids and gives you this gut that's full of
exactly
shark testicles and whatever other garbage we eat, right?
Exactly.
It's allowing that process to run through you, but you still maintain a good level of external stressors, then you start to chisel yourself in a way that is proportioned as intelligence wants you to be naturally.
Exactly. That's why I said it's about getting smaller and not bigger.
Smaller and refined.
Exactly. You said a great word, tailored. So these guys out there, don't feel like you're not good enough, man, because you are. Maybe you just need to get in the gym and get, even on high fruits, you can lose that shape. What you said, tailored, is perfect. You abide by the laws of the game, you be active, and you will eventually start to be tailored, just like you said, chipped away, and you'll be getting smaller, but you're going to be getting a beautiful shape.
Yeah.
You're going to get a beautiful shape. You know what I mean? Absolutely. And I think that's what needs to be looked at. Instead of this expectation of getting bigger. No, you can't. But what you're going to get is a beautiful shape, a beautiful sculpted shape in accordance to nature. You know what I mean? You continue to stress yourself out and, play by the rules, and you will get a completely sculpted, tailored shape. That is beautiful. So you're spot on there, Eli.
Thank you. That's wonderful. And I'm going to have to start wrapping up now as we run into the last year. But just to recapitulate, all right? So let's talk about just generally the stuff that we've gone over in a bite-sized way. So we understand, like we started off saying, is that recognize that there's this balance to be played between the detox, pulling stuff away out of you that isn't right, and then physical activity that seeks to either build or maintain your level of physicality. And so you're always playing this, you know, this juggling game. Okay. We also understand now that when you're in the middle of the initiation phase of the detox phase, okay, there is an individuality component where you have to surrender to times when your body is saying, just rest completely and don't do anything, because that's when it's doing some important work that you don't want to interrupt. Okay. You don't, that process you don't want to interrupt. So you honor that. And then when you do have some energy available to you, then get some stimulation in the sense of physical activity in, so that that helps amplify your detox and pull stuff out of your tissues, but it still maintains some sort of nervous tension. I'm going to use that word again, nervous tension in your body, so that you're not just completely wasting away, right? So we want to be mindful of
that
throughout that detox process, throughout that transition process, okay? And the last thing that I would say, so we've got the balance, okay? We've got maintaining yourself through the initiation period, but on while at the same time honoring those really low periods where it's just complete shut off and there's nothing you can do about it, okay? And the last thing I want to say is that the detox component and the fitness component, they exist in harmony just as much as they do prior to you going on the process, but the relationship changes. Now, the way your energy balances, the dynamic is has shifted a bit. It's now your body starts to recognize that it likes to be energized when the channels are clean, when the stomach is empty, when things are just flowing well without the burden of food, right? Whereas beforehand, you required all this stimulating stuff because your body wasn't sensitive as much as it was now. So on the other end of this process, right, you still need fitness, right? You don't want to just neglect it and go, depending on what you want, obviously, out of life. But for most of us that are looking at life as this thing where we want enjoyment, we want physicality, we want the social life, we want all these things, right? Understand that fitness is going to be part of your life, or at least it should if you want those things out of life. But the relationship between the two is just, it's shifted a bit because of the metabolic changes, but you don't want to avoid or cancel out the fitness part of your lifestyle just because you're on this cleansing thing that is making you clean, healthy. Yeah, you still need the stimulation of physicality to be able to live that the wholesome life that we want. And don't forget,
this is all on a probably 10, 20, 30 year time scale.
We cannot be in a rush with this. This is a lifestyle change. And you have to know that all this is on the horizon when you start this. So be prepared. Make sure you're at a point in your life where you're ready to accept this. Don't start this when you're in the middle of your competitive gymnastics competition lifestyle. Don't start in the middle of that. Don't start this right before you're about to get pregnant or during your pregnancy. This is probably not the best. You want to get all of this detoxing out of the way, and you want to have reforged a new body before you become pregnant.
Because if
you don't, there could be problems there, right? It's not the right time. So this is where and we only got like a minute left. Parenting becomes so important. This is responsibility on top of responsibility. You want
to
good, clean body way before you're ready to start a new family, right? Way before then. And that's a different topic. Obviously, we can get into that at some other time. But so guys, I hope you got something out of this this talk about fitness and health. Genesis Sunfire, we only got a minute left. Is there anything else you want to add just before we sign off here?
Other than, I just wish people the best, man. I just wish people the best. I know in our culture there's good and terrible, but I just wish people that who want to take this on board, I just wish them the best, man. Seriously, because it's a hell of a journey. Yeah. And it's not something you just say, oh, let me just do this for 2 weeks. No, this is a hell of a journey, man. It's 10, 20, 30 years, man. And yeah, so I just wish you the best. And when you get it, I want someone to contact me and say, I got it.
Yeah.
Another thing is, I love you, man. And thanks for having me on the show. And it's a lot of fun. Lot of fun.
Beautiful. Love you too, brother. Love you too. And anytime you're
awesome.
Come back. Yeah. But
awesome.
That'll be it for now, guys.